Good morning. Good to have each of you here this morning, and those of you who are joining us online as well. I'm sure we have some visitors here. We welcome you, invite you to be back with us as often as you can. This is Mother's Day, and as we open the worship, there is a list that Linda really found of 10 things that apply well to what it is to be a good mother, to be someone to be honored. But it also applies to fathers. You know, there's that minor event sometime next month, the Father's Day. And it applies to grandparents as well, and to all of us as Christians. So as we begin our worship service this morning, I'm going to read these 10 brief statements that we need to apply each day of our lives. It says, seek the Lord and love him with all your being. Know the Lord. Never forsake the truth, nor the basics of spiritual life. Daily communion with God through the Bible and prayer. Frequent fellowship with his people. Fulfill God's mission of sharing the gospel to everyone, especially to your own family. Find joy in God's goodness, in simplicity of his plan, in his blessings, large and small. Be content with your circumstances and ambitious in becoming more and more like Christ. Lose your needs in the immensity of God and find them in the service to your family, your fellow Christians, and your neighbors. Sin finds its way in and quickly attaches its hook to us. Never give it a chance. Time is the precious gift of God. Dispense with all that will waste it. Use it well through the spiritual purpose with specific and concrete objectives. One of the most important objectives, you and your family getting to heaven. Have your single goal the salvation of your soul. All other goals must be subservient to this. Glorify God, let your light shine. Do good works, and greatest of all, teaching your own family and the lost you come in contact with. These are things for a good mother, a good father, a good grandparent, for all of us to prepare the next generation to carry on God's love and God's plan for salvation. Let's begin our worship.
I want to let you know that there were three songs that I wanted to sing, but I wasn't sure we had the slides for, and that is Love is Like a Lucky Penny. Love, 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 the gospel in one word is love. And Beloved, Let Us Love One Another. And that should tell you what the songs are about today.
Thank you.
This will be our song before prayer. And it mentions a couple of things that are customary in Jewish culture, or were customary in Jewish culture, and that is lifting holy hands when you're in a worship setting or when you're offering a prayer to your God. And I thought that this would be a fitting song before we pray. If you are able and comfortable, please stand for this song and the prayer.
Good morning, church. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer together. Our Father in heaven, you are so great and so mighty, and I come with my brothers and sisters this morning to the feet of your throne, thanking you for this opportunity, this privilege to worship you this morning. Father, I want to thank you for the teachers that just finished leading our classes that were grounded in your word. And I especially want to thank the teachers of our young ones who are helping build those foundational blocks so that as they, our young children, begin their spiritual walk with you. Lord, I want to thank you also for Tim and Josh and Tim, and the ministries that they oversee, that those works continue to be fruitful for your kingdom. Lord, I thank you for the elders here. I ask you to continue to give them the wisdom and knowledge and understanding that they need as they lead us, your church here at Central, that we support them in their vision, and that we not only remain a light, but the light continues to shine brighter each day in us, in this community, and that we show the love of Jesus and spread your good news to everyone that we come in contact with. Father, as we continue in our worship here, I ask that anyone who has a burdened heart of that whoever that is, lays those at your feet, that we all have a clear mind and peace in our heart as we come before you today and worship you. And we are so very grateful, Lord, for your grace and mercy that you continually pour over us. Father, I pray that this worship today is pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
This song also comes from Jewish culture and has a little bounce. We'll sing the song a couple of times through, twice through, in unison. Behold,
what manner of love the Father has given unto us. Behold, what manner of love the Father has given. That we should be called sons of God. That
Good morning. If you wish to go to children training class, now is the time to do so. The scripture reading this morning will be 1 Samuel 1, 24 through 28. 1 Samuel 1, 24 through 28. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, along with a three-year-old bull, an ephah of water, and a skin of wine. And she brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. And the child was young. Then they slaughtered the bull, and they brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who is standing here in your presence, praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition that I made to him. Therefore, I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is lent to the Lord.
In his prayer, Seth reminded me of a powerful passage in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7 that really describes what worship should be like every time we come together. 1 Peter 5, 6 and 7, he says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that in due time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, for he cares for you. What a wonderful God we have. He asks us to humble ourselves before him, yes. And for some, that might be an insult. But it's a blessing, because it says God is willing to bless you and will take those anxieties and give you the peace that you need. And so thank you, Seth, for bringing that to our minds. And let's remember, we're here to worship God, the Almighty God. And it is a great privilege to do that. We're so glad that you are with us today. We have a good number today, and probably some of the number is because it's Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all of you mothers. And I'm trying to say that to as many mothers as I see out in the lobby. I'll say it to more of you, I hope, as we're leaving today. But if you don't get satisfaction today, let us know and we'll register a complaint somewhere. But you deserve great honor, and we're so thankful that you're a part of us. All of you online, we're so glad you're here with us as well. And all of you mothers online, happy Mother's Day to you. You definitely deserve that honor. I was talking before worship with Cheryl Chernesky about her grandfather, who was one of our very first elders here in the congregation. I was not blessed to know him. But the more I learn about him, the more I'm saying, wow, what a man. What a great legacy he left his family. And we are talking about that because last week we celebrated our 85th anniversary as a congregation. And we had a great celebration downstairs. And I just want to give you fair warning. Tomorrow the displays downstairs are going to be taken down and stored away in archives. So if you haven't yet been downstairs to see the tables that have all of the photographs and other memorabilia, try to do that this morning or this evening, because tomorrow Catherine is going to take them away and put them in safe storage. But all of you that contributed to that, thank you for that. It is so good for us to preserve the history of the congregation, and we pray there will be many more good years of service until the Lord comes. But we're glad you're with us today, all of you visiting with us. We're very thankful that you are here. If we can be of assistance to you in any way, please let us know, and we will do whatever we can to be of service to you. Lord willing, we'll meet again this evening at 6 o'clock. I urge you to come out and join us for that. I'm going to be talking about tasting goodness. Now, this afternoon, you may be tasting goodness. Some of you may be taking your mothers out to a restaurant. Good luck with that. Others of you, busiest day for restaurants of all, I think. But others of you will gather for a family meal. And you'll be tasting goodness, but I'm going to be talking about a different kind of goodness. And I would urge you to come out and join us for that. I hope that you'll come and study with us from God's word, because there is so much goodness to taste that God has provided us. So let's get together again this evening at 6. Now let's get into our Bibles. I hope you've got your Bible with you, that you follow along with us. I'll post the passages on the references on the screen, and then I hope you'll turn to that passage in your Bible and follow along as I read them out loud. But let's get into God's word and find things that will help us as we try to grow into the people we need to be. Now let me get technical at the beginning. I'm going to talk about the chordae tendinea, and I probably botched the pronunciation of that. As you can see from the slide on the screen, that is a reference to some fibrous tissues that are part of the heart structure. And the purpose of these structures are to keep the valves from being sucked into the heart arteries on the offbeat. And if they're doing their job, then the heart beats normally and everything is fine. If there is a problem with that, then you've got to go see your cardiologist as soon as possible. You're going to have some major issues. Well, we're not here to talk about, and by the way, it is noted that this is colloquially referred to as heartstrings. So when we're talking about heartstrings, we could be talking about anatomy, which is what this slide is all about. But we're not here to talk about anatomy. We're here to talk about the Word of God. And that phrase, heartstrings, you probably have heard it a few times in your life. For example, let's imagine a mother holding her newborn child, a few weeks old now, and the child is beginning to make sounds, and there's this cooing sound that they make. And we might say it just pulls at the mother's heartstrings. Do you know what I'm talking about there? Have you ever felt that kind of sensation? And I know all of you mothers know what I'm talking about. Well, that's the idea. The heartstrings is a way of referring to the affections that we may feel, the really deep, genuine affections that we may feel inside of us. Well, yes, again, today is Mother's Day in the United States. It is an American holiday. I'm sure it is observed in other countries as well. But it is a day worth observing. Absolutely, it is a day worth observing. And though not all of us, and I recognize this sadly, not all of us have been blessed with good mothers, devoted mothers. A lot of us have been. Some of us still have those mothers with us, some of us don't. But there's a lot of mothers here among us, and some that will be mothers in years to come. I think it's good for us again to look into the Word of God and recognize what God says about them. And that's what we're going to do today. As we talk about heartstrings, we're talking about God's counsel for all of those who are mothers. If you want to be a mother in the sense that God wants you to be, then let's look together in the Word of God. And for the rest of us, let's honor those good mothers that we've been given, or maybe those who stepped into that position when our own biological mothers were not there. We'll begin by talking about apron strings and heartstrings. We're going to talk about apron strings and heartstrings. And no, neither of these terms are actually in the Bible, but the concepts are there, I think. I want us to go to Genesis, first of all. Turn to Genesis 25 with me, if you will. And we're going to talk about Rebekah and Jacob. Rebekah, of course, was the mother of Jacob. She had another son, Esau. We're pretty familiar with that account. We're told early in the account of Isaac and Rebekah that she was barren. She could not have children. And yet Isaac prayed for her, and God heard his prayer and blessed her with children. Now, I want you to notice this statement that we find in Genesis 25 and verse 28. Genesis 25, verse 28. Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game. Esau was a hunter. He was also a pretty good cook. He had a podcast of his own where he told people how to cook their game. Well, he would have had if there had been that technology then. But it goes on to say, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Now, there's something disturbing about that passage. I mean, it's good that parents love their children, but is there a reason that one stands out above the other? And this sort of leads to the idea that one favors this child and the other one favors that child. And that seems to be how it plays out in the case of Rebekah and Jacob. And that's what we're going to see as we go further now. Let's go now to Genesis 27. Genesis chapter 27. We're going to read verse 13 in a moment. But this is after Jacob has bartered away the birthright of his older twin brother Esau. Now we're talking about something else, and it is the blessing. Isaac is hungry. He tells Esau to go hunt and bring in some food and prepare a stew, and then he will give him the blessing. And that would be the blessing of the firstborn, which in itself was a significant thing. Well, Rebekah, we're told, was listening, and she heard Isaac say that to his son. And now she moves in and gets with Jacob, the one she loved, remember, and says, here's what you need to do. You need to go take a lamb out of the flock. You need to bring it to me. I'll prepare it. I know how to prepare it in a way that your father will love. And then you put on this fleece on your arms and on your chest, and, you know, you pretend to be your brother Esau. And why would that work? Because we're also told that Isaac was pretty much blind by this time. He could not see. So he depended on his hearing, he depended on feeling and smell, and Rebekah's trying to duplicate all of that in this son Jacob. Jacob, however, says in he objects. At first he says, you know, my father's gonna find out. He's gonna know I'm not Esau. And then he'll curse me. Instead of giving me the blessing, he'll curse me. Jacob is smart. Jacob knows this is not the right thing to do. And yet Rebekah says in verse 13, let your curse be on me, my son. Only obey my voice and go. Bring them to me. Bring me the ingredients. We're going to prepare that meal. And your father will not know that it's not you. He'll think you are Esau. And so it plays out just that way. And even though Isaac is somewhat skeptical, yet he says, well, your arms and your chest, they feel like Esau's. He's a very hairy man. And you've prepared some really good food. Your voice sounds like Jacob. But then he gives Jacob the blessing that was to have gone to his older twin brother Esau. Well, of course, Esau finds out. And Isaac finds out. And Esau is just enraged. And that's what we find in Genesis 27, beginning in verse 43. Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father had blessed him. And Esau said to himself, the days of mourning for my father are approaching. In other words, he's an old man. He's not going to be around much longer. Then I will kill my brother Jacob. I will kill him. That's how angry he was. But the words of Esau, her older son, were told to Rebekah. So she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said to him, behold, your brother Esau comforts himself about you by planning to kill you. Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice. Arise, flee to Laban, my brother, in Haran. And that's what he did. And that was almost certainly the last time Jacob ever saw his mother. There's nothing to indicate he ever did. In fact, when you go with me one more time to Genesis 35 and verse 8, Genesis 35 and verse 8, this is several years later. Jacob is now coming back to his homeland. He now has wives. He has children. He has large flocks and herds. And yet something happens along the way. Genesis 35 and verse 8, Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died, and she was buried under an oak below Bethel. So he called its name Alon Bakuth. And the importance of that is it's translated as oaks of tears. That was a very sad event, apparently for Jacob and others in the family. But here's a comment that I found by John Hartley that gives us a little more insight into what actually happened there, likely. Apparently Rebekah had died, the mother of Jacob. Apparently, Rebekah had died while Jacob was in Haran. This report about Deborah, her nurse, compensates in some measure for the absence of an account of Rebecca's burial and the need to honor this matriarch. In attending to the burial of Deborah, Jacob participated vicariously in the burial of his mother. Now, that's somewhat speculative. That may not be it at all. But the point is, Rebecca sent her son away. Did it have to be that way? Did she have to plot and scheme in order to get her younger son the blessing of the father? Well, I don't know. God may have had other plans in mind. But the point is, she did something that was probably not right, almost definitely not right, and Jacob participated. He said, "Yes, I am Esau." But the price that was paid, he had to go far, far away. And that's where my idea of apron strings comes in, because here's the definition I found online. Apron strings are the feelings that keep you dependent on your mother after the age when you should be independent. And Jacob knew that what we're talking about, this is not right, but he went ahead and did it anyway, and the price he paid was separation from his mother. For the rest of her life, he never again saw her. But then on the other hand, let's look at a better account. This comes in 1 Samuel chapter 1, part of the passage that Jackson read for us a bit ago. 1 Samuel chapter 1, we're going to look at verses 27 and 28, and here again we find a woman who had been barren, unable to have children. And yet she went to the place of worship. She prayed to God, "Give me a child." Eli saw her, thought she was drunk at first, and then when he found out what it was, he said, "May the Lord bless you with what you've asked for." And she had Samuel, her son. Hannah was a remarkable woman. She had made a vow, "Lord, if you'll give me a son, I will give him back to you for the rest of his life." That's quite a statement for a mother. "I'm willing to give him back to the Lord, even though it means I will not be with him personally." Well, 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 27 and 28, the time has come. The young boy now is weaned, and so here's what we find. She brings him to Eli and says, "For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition that I made to him. Therefore, I have lent him to the Lord as long as he lives. He is lent to the Lord." And so there again, separation. There was a distance between where Hannah lived and where Samuel was now going to be living. And was it the same way with her and her child, the way it was with Rebecca and Jacob? Go to chapter 2 of 1 Samuel, look at verse 19, and we're given this footnote. It says, "His mother used to make for him a little robe and take it to him each year when she went up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice." And so once again, here's a son that I prayed for. This is something that God has given me. One of them is sent away because of bad decisions, things that should not have happened. But this case, this is the will of the Lord. And you can tell by this that Samuel was forever in Hannah's heart. Now, that may have been the case with Rebecca as well, with Jacob. We're not told that. But in the case of Hannah, we know that he was on her mind, in her heart, because every year she took him something that she had made for him. They saw each other year by year for as long as she lived. And we don't know exactly how that long that was. And so what we have in these two cases, again, are maybe contrast. Both of them turn out to be very instrumental in the plan of God. But one mother was looking more after the things of this world and how is my son going to get ahead? How's he going to be blessed? The other mother depends totally on God. She says, "The Lord will take care of my son," which in fact he did. Samuel is one of the great men of the Bible. Well, let's think now about honoring the heartstrings of all godly mothers. We've looked at the difference between apron strings and heartstrings. And so let's look at those mothers that we know that may have been our mothers, maybe others that we are aware of even today. Let's honor them, just the way we're trying to do on Mother's Day. Let's talk about the strong bond between mothers and their children. And this is the way it should be. Again, this is not always true, unfortunately, but this is the way it ought to be, and it often is. And let me just remind you of three or four examples in the Bible. We're not going to read these passages, but in Genesis 21, 15, and 16, you could read about a mother named Hagar. Hagar was a slave, a servant of Sarah. Sarah could not have children, and so thinking, well, we got to do something to help God, she gave her handmaid to Abraham to father a child. And indeed, Abraham had a child by Hagar, Ishmael, but God said, that's not the child of promise. I mean, I'll bless Ishmael, and he did, but that's not the child of promise. And then when they were sent away, when the time came for a separation, you remember that they ran out of water, Hagar and her son Ishmael, and it looked like he was going to die of thirst. She put him under a shrub, and she walked away. She said, I cannot bear to see my son die. And she began weeping. And God heard. God heard the weeping. He heard the young child crying out. And God blessed them with the water they needed. And that child grew to maturity and became the father of many nations. God saw the heart of that mother Hagar. And likewise in Exodus 2 verses 3 and 4, a much more familiar account is found there of Jochebed. We don't usually call her by her name. It's the mother of Moses. And she knew it is illegal for me to have a male child. They had already said, Pharaoh had said, we're getting too many Israelites. We're going to kill all the male Israelites that are born, going to cast them into the river, be done with them. And yet she saw, this is my child. I can't do that. I'm going to hide my child. And she did for a time, but the time came. You just can't hide a child. They're going to make noise. They're going to be loud. And so she had to do something. She put him in this basket, this ark, we call it, of bulrushes, covered with pitch. It was a boat of sorts, a very small boat. And then she placed him in the river, not knowing what would happen. But apparently she had her daughter, Miriam, the older sister of Moses, stand nearby. And of course, you know how this plays out. When the daughter of Pharaoh comes and finds the child, she says, I'm going to take this child. I'm going to raise this as my own. And Miriam steps out and says, would you need somebody to help raise this child? I happen to know somebody that could do a good job raising him. And so Moses' own mother is able to raise her son until he is weaned. And again, the time of that can vary, but she had him through some very impressionable times. God heard the groaning of the heart of Jochebed. He saw how much she wanted her son to live and to prosper. And God, in fact, made Moses very important in his plan. In 1 Kings chapter 3, 16 through 28, another woman, you can read about this more on the front page of the bulletin today, but this woman who had a very bad reputation, yet she had a child. And another woman who had the same reputation had her child, and yet her child died because she rolled over on her in the middle of the night, and now she's claiming the other child is her own. No, this is my child. Give me my child. And it's a he said, she said kind of situation, except it's she said, she said. And so they bring this before Solomon, and Solomon says, I know how to solve this. Bring me a sword. We'll cut the child in half. And you can both have half of a child. One mother said, okay, sounds good. The other one said, no, 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 no. Let the child live. I'll give up my claim to him if that's what it takes to live. And of course, that's the mother. Solomon knew. That's the wisdom of Solomon. And again, that's God seeing the heart of a mother, even though society would say, they can't be very good mothers. She was. She was an ideal mother in that respect. And so once again, we're to honor those mothers that have strong bonds. And think about this. In Isaiah chapter 49, we're going to read this. Isaiah chapter 49, verses 14 through 16, God gives the greatest honor of all. How's that? Listen to what he says. Isaiah 49, beginning in verse 14, Zion said, this is God's people, Zion, the Lord has forsaken me. My God has forgotten me. That's what Israel would say after the Babylonian captivity took place. They would be led out of their country. Many of them would die and not have that opportunity. But it would be a period of 70 years where they were away from their homeland. And they would say, God has forgotten me. But God responds in verse 15. Can a woman forget her nursing child, that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. Behold, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. It's like God was saying, well, what's the best way I can help my people understand how much I love them? What is the best example of love of all? A mother's love. That's what God chose. And he said, can a woman forget her child, a nursing mother forget her child? And yes, we do read some instances now and then, and we say, what? It shocks us when those kinds of things happen. But with God, you're not ever going to be shocked, because God does not forget his people. He loves them as much as mothers love their children. In fact, more than mothers love their children. So we are to honor our mothers for their heartstrings. That's what I'm proposing today. And I think you all are in agreement with that. After all, you remember that the fifth commandment, remember the Ten Commandments back in Exodus chapter 20? Exodus 20, we're going to look at verse 12 in a moment. But the first four are all about our relationship with God. Here are the commandments to follow if you want to have a good relationship with God. The next six are all about our relationships with other people. And at the head of that list is this: honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. That's number one. If we're going to get along with other people, then we got to learn to get along with our mothers and fathers and give them the honor that they're due. That's the word of God. Paul would go on to say in Ephesians chapter 6, it is the first commandment with promise. But it is that important. God wanted us to know you need to honor your fathers and your mothers, and not just one day a year when they call it Mother's Day or Father's Day, but every day. Our parents are to be honored every day. John 19, you see Jesus on the cross. Did he honor his mother? You know he did. John 19, verses 26 and 27, and through all the agony that he was enduring, through the blood that must have dimmed his vision and the weakening that his body was going through, yet he saw one figure standing nearby. And that's why we find this in John 19, 26 and 27. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." And he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. Jesus wasn't saying to Mary, "Look at me." He was saying, "Now, look at this disciple. He's going to take care of you." Mary had other sons by Joseph. Jesus was the son by the Holy Spirit. Mary had other sons, but at this time, they apparently did not yet believe in Jesus. And so Mary needed somebody that would take her and comfort her through this awful grief she was enduring. And he said, "John," we think it's John, "take her and give her comfort, give her strength." In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 4, there's a little different slant here. Paul is talking about the care of widows. What happens to a woman when her husband dies and now she's getting older and unable to work and provide for herself? What happens? And here's one thing that Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 4. If a widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show godliness to their own household, and to make some return to their parents. For this is pleasing in the sight of God. You know what he's talking about there, don't you? It means provide for them. If they are without things, then if their children, their grandchildren present, provide for them. And what does he call it? Godliness. It is godliness to honor them by providing whatever their needs may be. And again, many of us know exactly what that means and have practiced that in our lives. And then in Proverbs 31, that long section that we refer to as the virtuous woman, what an outstanding woman this is, and why? What's the point of all this? Look at verse 28, Proverbs 31, verse 28. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. In other words, give her a standing ovation. Give her a standing ovation because she is worthy. Now again, not all mothers can say that. Not all mothers are devoted to their children. They are devoted to other things. But when you find that woman that has heartstrings the way God designed them, give her a standing ovation. Let her know that she is a person of great worth. I imagine a lot of you know who I'm talking about when I mention Helen Steiner Rice. She is one that wrote many, many inspirational poems and on the back of many cards and so forth. She wrote this tribute to mothers. She said, "A mother's love is something that no one can explain. It is made of deep devotion and of sacrifice and pain. It is endless and unselfish and enduring, come what may, for nothing can destroy it or take that love away. It is patient and forgiving when all others are forsaking, and it never fails or falters, even though the heart is breaking." Those mothers among us that are devoted, that are godly, that's them. That's you. And we honor you for that. And when we say a mother's love, it's not just a cliche. It shouldn't be just a cliche. It is a statement of fact. It is a statement of the way God designed things to be. And those mothers among us who are doing that with their children still at home, God bless you. We honor you. We're here to support you any way we can. Those who have done their job and now the children are gone and away, well done. Well done. We honor you. And those who are thinking about having children in the future, listen to God. His ways are always best. Are you listening to God? Are you a follower of Jesus Christ? Maybe today you want to devote your life to Him by obeying the gospel, doing just exactly what they did on the first day the gospel was preached in Acts chapter 2, when the people who had heard that Jesus was the Son of God and Peter gave proofs of that, they said, "What do we do?" They were saying in essence, "We believe what you're saying. Now what do we do?" And Peter said in Acts 2:38, "Repent, turn away from your sins, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Those terms have not changed. We're ready. If you are, we'd love to help you obey the gospel. And if you have done that and yet your life has gotten off the path, like the prodigal son, you've wandered away, and where are you now? But you want to come home. Can you come home? Yes, the Father is waiting. And if you'll turn around, repent of your sins, pray for forgiveness, the Father will come running to greet you with open arms. Can we help you? Would you like to talk more about it? If we can help in any way, please come as we stand together and sing.
Thank you.
Please be seated. We come to our weekly observance of communion with our Lord, and we will be singing 364 to remind ourselves that we do this with Him.
We gather here in Jesus' name. His love is burning in our hearts like living flame. For through the loving Son, the Father makes us one. Come take the bread, come drink the wine, come share the Lord.
If anybody is in need of communion packets, we do have those in the back. If you will raise your hands nice and high, we can get those to you. I'd like to read something that we might not read often in terms of communion. I want to go to Exodus chapter 12 and read verses 24 through 27. You shall observe this rite as a statute for you and for your sons forever. And when you come to the land that the Lord will give you, as he has promised, you shall keep this service. And when your children say to you, what do you mean by this service? You shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, for he has passed over the houses of the people of Israel in Egypt, when he struck the Egyptians but spared our houses. And the people bowed their heads and worshiped. So this was arguably the most pivotal moment in Israel's history. It's a moment when they were brought from this bondage and slavery in Egypt into a freedom, a newfound freedom in God. Now, it was not an easy journey, but God brought them through that. And we see it accomplished in an interesting way. We see it through the sacrifice of a lamb, right? We see the sacrifice of the lamb, a sort of memorial feast, and we see the blood of the lamb painted onto the doorpost. Now, if you jump forward about 1,400 years, you see Christ institute the Lord's Supper, what we're doing right now, out of this Passover meal. And this was absolutely intentional, because just as the Passover represented a newfound freedom from Egypt, from this slavery in Egypt,
The Lord's Supper that we're doing right now represents a newfound freedom from sin, right? And it was in the same way accomplished by the sacrifice of a lamb. And Christ is our Passover lamb. So we'll pray for the bread now. God, our Father in heaven, we thank you for this opportunity that you've blessed us with, to come together to be with one another, to commemorate the sacrifice of Christ our Lord, and to celebrate that redemption that we found through it. Father, we ask that as we take this bread, that we would do it in a manner that is pleasing to you, that is honoring to you, that is glorifying to you. Father, that we would center our hearts and minds around this sacrifice and what it means for us. Lord, that as you've said, that we would do it in remembrance of you and to proclaim that death until you come. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Also pray for the cup. Lord, we also thank you for this cup and for the blood of Christ, which cleanses us from sin. Lord, we ask that each day we would never take it for granted, but that we would live each day as the community of the redeemed, Lord, who have been cleansed by that blood of Christ, our perfect sacrificial Passover lamb. Lord, we ask that each day you would strengthen us and guide us to live in that manner, in a manner that's pleasing to you. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. And separate apart from the Lord's Supper, we're also commanded to give back on each Sunday, each first day of the week. And we're commanded to do this in a way that is honoring to God, that is not begrudging, but in a manner that's cheerful, because we understand that we are not giving out of coercion, but we are giving back to God from what he has already blessed us with. So we'll now pray for that offering. Lord God, we thank you for all of your many blessings that you give us each day, those that we see and those that sometimes go unnoticed. Lord, we ask that you would open our eyes and guide us each day to see the many blessings that you give us, that you would help us to walk in a manner that exemplifies the many blessings that you give us, and that we could show that and reflect that to others. Father, we ask that you would bless the offering now, that it would be used to the service of your kingdom and your will. Father, that it would edify the church and spread the gospel. Lord, we ask that you would watch over it and bless it in all things. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's again go to God in prayer. Our Father, we're thankful for this period of time that we pray has been a blessing to you, that has been acceptable to you, that has drawn us as individual Christians and as the body of your people closer to you, more dedicated to serving you each day of our lives. Help us as we go into the world to remember our role as parents and grandparents, mothers and fathers, that we be examples of Christ, not only to the world, but most importantly, to our children and grandchildren, to lead them to a closer walk with you. We pray you'll be with those that we're about to mention this morning. Help them, help those that are ministering unto them. Bless us as we go forward throughout the week. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. We have several announcements. And then after I finish, Greg has an announcement. Due to recent holidays, the manufacturer of communion cups we usually use are behind in production. As soon as they're caught up, the regular ones will be back in place. Teachers and assistants are needed for the summer quarter of our children's Bible classes, which begins in 3 weeks. Check the announcements board in the lobby to see which classes need teachers and sign up to help. Speak to Adam Maurer if you have any questions. Bible class promotion will take place Sunday, June the 1st. Children will go to the new classes based on the school grade they will enter this fall. Children should go to their new classes on June 1. Again, see Adam Maurer if you have any questions. Helpers are needed for our Living Bible School, our VPS, Walking with the Prophets. Adult and teenage volunteers are needed to help make the Bible School special. VBS will take place the evenings of Sunday, June 22nd through Wednesday, June 25th. Please see available sign-up sheets in the foyer. And again, ask Josh Johnson if you have any questions. Upcoming events. Digging Deep will meet on Monday, May the 12th at 6 p.m. Retired Men's Breakfast will meet on Tuesday, May 13th at 9 a.m. Please sign up, please sign the list on the announcement board if you plan to join us. Central Redbirds will meet on Tuesday, May 13th at 11 o'clock at the Blue Moose. The Dorcas Group will meet on Wednesday, May 14th at 1 p.m. The 55 Plus Group will meet on Monday, May 19th at 6 p.m. Please sign up so that they'll know how many burgers to purchase and sign up to bring sides that are posted on the bulletin board. Now then, these to remember in our prayers. Mary Nell L. was taken by ambulance to Franklinwood Hospital on Friday evening after falling in a parking lot. At last report, she was being tested to determine the cause of blood pressure issues. Nita P., sister of John McGinnis, is scheduled to undergo a liver biopsy on Monday after concerning spots were revealed in a recent PET scan. She is already being diagnosed with breast cancer. Our prayers for God's help has been requested. Charlie A., a 30-year-old member of the Elizabethan Church of Christ, has learned he has cancer. Charlie is known to many at Central through High Rock Bible Camp and the 708 Ministries Program. Indications are that it has been caught in the early stages. Prayers have been requested for Charlie. Sympathy is extended to the family of Louise R., mother of Andy R. Louise passed away on Wednesday in West Virginia. William T., brother of Linda R., and my brother-in-law, is scheduled to have hip replacement this Wednesday. Pray that all goes well with his surgery. And now Greg has an announcement.
Sundays are great, opportunity to come together and learn more about the Word. Wednesday nights are great, come together, learn more about the Word. But there is another night that you might not be aware of, particularly for men, Tuesday night. We meet here, a couple of us guys meet here at the building for about 2 hours. We go over some material, dive into the Word, we pray for each other, we talk about how life is going, and we minister to one another. Right now, we're going to be changing our book. We just finished with one. We're moving into one called Living Life Backwards, a deeper study on Ecclesiastes. And so, men, if that's something you're interested in and you want more fellowship, Tuesday nights, 6 o'clock here at the building, and all men are welcome to join us. Have a great rest of the day, and we'll see you tonight.